Do you remember your life before Christ, for those of us that are Christians? Did you think you were okay with God back then? Because you're a good person? I love that phrase. The theologians on TV. But they're a good person. And if so, why would you want to go back to that? That's the message today. Don't go back. So please turn to Galatians in your Bible as we continue on through Paul's letter, a very important letter, as Martin Luther would call it, one of the capital epistles. The message is so profound for the people in Galatia and for the church today, I would submit. But Paul is writing to these churches in the southern Turkey, Roman province of Galatia. And he's defending where he and Silas had been on their first missionary trip. And he's defending the gospel and his apostleship, because after he had left, a group of people we know as the Judaizers, but basically Jewish legalists who professed Jesus, but they also demanded keeping the Mosaic law, especially circumcision. And Paul is adamantly saying, no, 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 that is not the gospel. There's only one way to get to God, and that is through his gospel, by faith, and the promises, especially through the covenant of Abraham, not the Mosaic law. And so last time, if you were here, Paul reemphasized that we are no longer slaves under, that word under shows up, slaves under bondage to the law, to sin. We were in that bondage. But through Christ, through faith in Christ, we are sons and heirs of God. And so now, in these next few verses, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 4, Paul is going to get very personal, if you will, sort of emotional as a pastor, worried about these people concerning the danger of their situation. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 8. Just look at a few verses. But then, verse 8, and some, a lot of your, most of your translations will say formerly, so a time frame. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those things which by nature were not God's. And that would include, and this would be just mind-blowing to the Judaizers, including the law of Moses. We'll talk more about that, but he is equating the law, the Jewish law of Moses, with being under the bondage of your pagan whatever. I mean, just think how shocking that would even seem today, that that the law is equated with paganism. So you are serving those things which by nature are not God's. Verse 9, but now, so formerly, you didn't know God, and we'll talk about that word know in a minute, but now, after you have known God, different word, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Why would you want to go back under what was holding you in bondage before you were a Christian, we might say today? And a good illustration, think of the Israelites in the desert, how God had redeemed them with Moses, and they started murmuring. And what did they want? They wanted to go back to Egypt because they had good onions back in Egypt. You know, and and you were slaves, but hey, at least we were had good onions slaves. Why would you want to go back? Verse 10, you know, do you desire to go back to the under the elements again to be in bondage? Verse 10, you observe days and months and seasons and years. Think of the Jewish calendar, or even in Galatia before Christ. You know, the pagan calendar always had moon festivals. In the Jewish calendar, Sabbaths, Jubilee year, all the festivals that God told them to worship, but it sort of the attention came off of God and began looking at all these calendar events, which that word elements we looked at last time, or elementary spirits, but basically the ABCs are basic principles of the fallen old creation and the elements of the world. You know, old time philosophers taught, you know, earth, air, fire, and water. Those were the four basic elements, you know, baked down to the earthly basics, if you will. Why would you want to go back to that fallen, secular world? And then verse 11, sort of the conclusion of this whole section in chapters 3 and 4. And this is Paul the pastor. I am afraid for you. And that's emphasized. You people, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored in vain for nothing. I've been trying to teach. I've been giving you the truth. Why would you want to go back? Have I been wasting my time here? Well, so what are some lessons that we see today, in fact, that would be appropriate for the church? But knowing God, in John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, Paul, or talking about Jesus. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, one of the major Jewish feasts, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which Jesus did. But Jesus did not commit, my translation says, but that's the same word. Jesus did not believe in them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. In Matthew 7 on the Sermon on the Mount, you remember the passage where in that day, that last day, many will cry, Lord, Lord, didn't we not do all these miraculous things and cast out demons and do all these wonderful things, you know, for you? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. That's damning. And that word, no, it's, here's some things to win a quiz prize. The semantic domain of the word for, there's two uses of the word no in this passage. One is sort of a comprehensive or comprehension mind only type of knowledge. And then the biblical world word for no is that deep relationship. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that's translated like the Greek word here is Adam knew his wife Eve, and what happened? Kids, close your ears. They had a child. So an intimate, we might say, for loving someone. And the biblical concept of what's called foreknowledge is huge, that it's not what God knows. Of course, God knows the end from the beginning. It's whom God knows, whom he has a relationship. Today we might, in 1 John 4:19, a familiar passage, we love him because he first loved us. And today in the church pews and in culture, there are a lot of people who, here's your bumper sticker slogan for the day now. Man, you're getting game shows, you're getting bumper stickers. But you've heard that term. There are a lot of people who profess Christ with their lips, you might say, but they don't possess Christ with a biblical knowledge. In fact, John this morning, if you were here for adult Bible study, talked a lot about what it takes to love God truly. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's that biblical. That's what's important. Now, that's going to have ramifications on your life. But those things, that's not what causes you to know God. That's a result of knowing God. So Paul is telling them, don't just be a professor, not a university professor, but one who speaks or claims to know, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I know God. And Paul's telling the Galatians, be careful because you are being led astray. And ultimately it's, does God know you? So what are some, in today, wrong answers? We might say, what are some things that get in the way of biblical faith? Not what is presented as the anemic gospel or what we make the gospel out to be, but what is biblical faith that leads to a knowledge and being known by God? We might say, what are some things that get in the way of Jesus? Because the gospel, faith, promise, all these things that Paul is laboring to encourage, and it sounds like he keeps repeating himself, doesn't it? But it must be important if it's being repeated. And so Paul is saying, this is what's most important. Faith, the promise being of the seed of Abraham, and all those things that we've gone through over the last few weeks. But what are some wrong answers? Well, one thing is the secular world. That's that word. It's the Greek word. It's stoicheia. But the elements, the elementary principles, things like maybe the old Anatolian, southern Turkey, pagan religions, earthly world, old creation, fallen world, sinful world, the things that we worshiped, they worshiped before they became Christians. And as Calvin read in 1 Corinthians 8, idolatry, all those things, behind that, the deeper spiritual reality is that's demonic, false gods. And Paul says, we know that that false gods don't exist. There's only one true God. But demons exist, and they inhabit the earthly things we humans are prone to worship, go after. So in Colossians 2, that word, stoicheia, the elements, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of the world, according to the basic principles of the world, that's that same word, and not according to Christ. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete, complete in him. You don't need to add the law of Moses. You don't need to add circumcision. You don't need the, Judaizers. Oh yeah, Jesus, great. But if you really want to be a good Christian, you're going to do these things too. So those are wrong answers. I'll reemphasize 1 Corinthians 8, 5. Because this things we want to serve under, Paul's saying, don't go back under the elements, under the basic principles, under the law. So he's equating the Jewish law, Mosaic law, remember, which was temporary and was mediated. It does not supersede the promise to Abraham in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 8:5. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, just as there are many gods, small g, and many lords, small l. So today we might say, and more in the culture, hopefully than the church, but nature worship. You know, when I was the chaplain at the Air Force Academy, one of the things I had to be aware of or foster there, I guess you wouldn't call it worship. It was like anti-worship, but I took that job seriously. I was a chaplain. I made sure that these nature worshipers, they had a right to believe whatever wacko thing they wanted to. And if you've ever been to the Air Force Academy, Scott knows this, the hill up behind the chapel, they've converted into a stone circle. That's the nature circle where the Wiccans could go and do whatever they do. And they were always proud because that hill was supposedly 2 feet taller than the chapel, so they could look down on the chapel, you know. But nature worshiping, pagans do that. But do we do that in the church? Think about creation worship, worshiping the creature rather than the creator. That's idolatry. If you want to really read some Paul not mincing words, read Romans 1, verses 18 to 32. You know, talking about the danger of that. So that's the secular world. Yeah, those pagans, we might say. Well, now let's talk about us. What about tradition? Okay, Jesus had to get after the scribes and the Pharisees. he didn't mince words. Matthew 15, verses 7 and 9. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So in other words, paying lip service to God, but not taking him at his word and teaching as doctrine, as you've got to believe this, the traditions, the commandments of men. You know, today, I might call that denominationalism, where, you know, we come from a lot of backgrounds here. And if you think your denomination is the be-all, end-all, like Paul said earlier in the reading there, that, you think you know something, be careful. I fear there are a lot of people sitting in churches today that are good, fill in the blank, whatever denomination. They're good evangelical free church people, but they're not Christians. Okay? There's a difference. Denominations are good. You know, we like to worship with the, and we have different ways of understandings and styles and preferences. But first and foremost, we want to be Christians who happen to be evangelical free. So tradition is dangerous, that we set up our list of do's and don'ts. This is what God says. Did he? I think God said believe in the Son and all this other stuff will follow. Okay, another one, rituals. In verse 10, Paul said that you observe, watch closely. You have all these customs. And then also the calendar, he mentions days and months and years, which, like back in Genesis chapter 1, you know, the sun, the moon, the stars that God created during creation were given for days and months and years. But pretty soon people started worshiping those elements. And that's so the idea of heavenly bodies being, you know, the sun god, whatever. Surely we in the church would do that. But things like external type religion where we look down here at what God has created versus the creator of all this stuff. The word religion, by the way, is the idea of what man does for his own, you know, for creates God in his image. That word religion comes from a Latin. John was talking about Latin this morning. Comes from a word from to bind. We are bound. So what I do for my religion, that's what makes me right with whatever God I believe in. As opposed to Christianity, which is God knowing his people and having a relationship with him. So rituals. And then finally, the law, that legalism, which was probably the main problem for the Galatians. And we talked about this quite a bit under chapter 3. Did the law have a purpose? Yes, it did. But it was not to give life. It was to show us that we really are all dead. We can't keep the law. It defined sin, showed us we can't do this apart from a new heart. And so the law does not save. Galatians, people of Galatia, why would you want to go back to that legalistic, all these other things? Why would you go back to that? And then the final verse is Paul's personal, if you will, the danger. He's worried, have I labored in vain? You know, have I been preaching the word? Have you understood it? Did I do something wrong? You said you believed, do you not get this? And of course, we know that we will all be accountable as individuals before God when we get to heaven, if you will. So you can't say, well, but that bum Dieter said, okay, that bum Dieter probably did say, but yet you're still guilty. And then that bum Dieter, James 3:1 says, let not many of you become teachers, for you will be held to a stricter judgment, a stricter accountability. So yes, I will answer to God for my own salvation, and I will answer to God for how I took care of you, backbiting sheep. So make my job easier. No. But Paul's genuinely concerned that, you know, why would you go back? You know, did you believe in vain? Have my labors been for naught? So, you know, it's one thing we are going through this life together. And God has given us a church family for a purpose, and we all serve our part. But ultimately, well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the gospel, by which you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So my challenge to all of us is, do you understand the gospel? Have you believed in the gospel alone? Are you relying on these wrong answers that can creep in? You know, anything that gets in the way of Jesus. And that there's a lot of things Satan loves to distract the main thing. You know, we like to focus on the periphery. So, final quote by a New Testament scholar named Richard Longnecker, he's now dead, so he knows the truth now, but he did a pretty good job even in life. But listen to this quote: whatever leads one away from sole reliance on Christ, whether based on good intentions or depraved desires, is sub-Christian, and therefore to be condemned. And Paul would say a hearty amen. There, how's that? Amen. Paul would say a hearty amen to that. And that's what he is worried about for the Galatians. Because all he does is always about God's glory. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been known by you. Help us to rely solely in Jesus Christ and to cut through the clutter of what passes for man's religion and the siren calls of the world outside the church and inside the church. And Lord, I pray for pastors around the world not to shilly-shally, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and Him alone as we learn together how to better know, in the biblical sense of that word, the one true God and be known by you for your glory. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.